Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian, the inevitable. Then floating out is Spanish Vision, but very elegant at the 150. The darling of the turf has raced clear 3 weeks incentivised, and it's very elegant. 10 group ones, and now the greatest of them all, the Melbourne Cup. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings will dream at the 100. It's getting desperate now. Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We have a very, very special guest on the program tonight. King Julian, Jules, Valance, you were on here a year ago for this very night. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, no, I've been waiting for my time again, so thanks for the opportunity. And no, we're alive, so that's a positive, boys.
It's a good start.
Some others can say that they're not, after a couple of things that happened last night. So, no, we're going okay. But we're sort of just on a little bit of weather watch, to be honest, guys, because I've just got to see what happens with those clouds, because it makes it a little bit hard. And to be honest, I think it's probably the first time, probably in a long, long time with my punting, that I actually haven't played, and I won't play until the day. Usually I'll always play early doors and just try and pick off some prices that I think might be wrong, but Saturday, it's just hard to tell what's going to happen. So a bit of wait and see, I think, for the punters out there on Saturday.
Yep. It's obviously Caulfield Cup Day and Everest Day, Jules. In your opinion, is it still Caulfield Cup Day, or is the Everest starting to take over a little bit?
I think it is. I think even from a turnover point of view, it'll monster it, they've done a great job up there in New South Wales to promote this, and it's a good even race. I mean, the Caulfield Cup's a pretty flat open race as well, but in terms of probably class, I think the Caulfield Cup drops away a lot, whereas the Everest has got some real depth in it. Not very easy to find the winner, I would think. But yeah, it's you know, easily the second biggest race in the calendar, and some could suggest that it's starting to try and monster the Melbourne Cup, which is always going to be the Melbourne Cup. I mean, it's a public holiday and all that kind of stuff, so. Anyway, they've done a good job with the Everest, but yeah.
Tim Ryan did say today that it's their second biggest turnover day of the year this weekend.
Well, it's a massive day in terms of you get 10 races, Caulfield, quality races, probably every race is a stakes race. In Sydney, you've got the Everest and a pretty good support card. So that's going to generate turnover for sure. So hopefully we can get some trust in the tracks and what we think is going to happen, because that'll obviously increase the turnover as well.
100%. Boys, I'm assuming you're well. Will is a little bit sick. My head's about to explode with Cox Plate next week. And Nico isn't where he was 12 months ago trying to find his apartment. So it's not quite as exciting as 12 months ago. But nonetheless, there are winners to find. So let's absolutely rip in. Jules, firstly, track, as you mentioned, Caulfield, it was inside sort of three lanes, I thought, last week. Rail goes out 3 metres, and we've got some rain coming tomorrow. Yeah. What do you think of how it could potentially play?
The rain's the key. I mean, so we love this situation when you're trying to work it out, and the bomb suggests between 5 and 30. So you get 5, and to be honest, I don't even know if they're going to, like, they'd have to irrigate maybe Friday night if they only got 5. I don't know what they would do. You get 30, and we're going to be on probably a 6 or a 7. So tricky to work out from that point of view. As you mentioned, Benny, out 3 metres the entire circuit. Obviously, true Guineas day, you were right. You sort of had to be there. There's a couple of outliers there, but they just might have been Jets. The way they presented those horses on the day, I talked with Jimmy Starr and sort of Antino. Even other horses that ran on like chewing gum, they sort of were sort of inside lanes in running, so you just got to be careful there. But out 3, I think, shoot. I think it's, I'm expecting it to be even. Again, even if it gets into the, if we're on a good 4 or a soft 5-6, I'm expecting shoot to be even. Do have the southwesterly as well, guys, so that's, we know that that southerly is really important. I think it actually turns to a southerly, so we know On Speed loves that from the shoot, 1,000 to 12. But I think even shoot, but I want to be forward of midfield in the circle, in particular On Speed, I think, in the circle races, which is obviously 1,400 metres plus. So that's how I'm starting my process for Saturday. And then if I get told, like, you know, 2 races in, it doesn't look that way, well, we have to move a little bit, but that's how I'm beginning the day.
Beautiful. All right, let's waste no time. We're going to do the Caulfield Quaddie, and we're going to do 6-2-9 up there at Royal Randwick. The first race on the Quaddie is the Caulfield Sprint, or now known as the Millennium Sprint this year. It's a Group 2 over 1,000 metres. Estriella, she carries 59 kilos. She's a $3.50 favourite from Ray Magnerio, $3.80. Jules, you said you haven't bet early, so this isn't your money, but it has been crunched. Katsu's $7.50, Sons Doot $7.50, and Midtown Boss $8. Jules, I am going to put you in the gun straight away and start with you, because I have heard you're keen on the 8.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I think he's probably never really been one of mine. It's sort of been hard to find Ray McNeiro for me, but I thought his first up run was really good. Obviously, you know, Jimmy Starr form. You go back and I sort of like looked at it originally and I was like, 1,000, is he really a 1,000-metre horse? But I love his, I think it was a number he did at Sale last prep or 2 preps ago, which was over 1,000. It was a big number with me. And I just think it sets up really well. Like, I just love these horses on the min, and they've sort of just got a little bit of upside. Horses like Estrella, Spacewalk, you know, Ashford Street, even to a lesser extent, possibly Katsu. We sort of know where their level is. Estrella's always been one of mine. Loved her, but I'm just worried about her if she's not busted. Maybe she got busted up, you know, from the Sangster and the Goodwood. I'm not sure, but she just hasn't seemed to come back the same horse. I know they've sort of tried to torture and ride her when they haven't had great gates in those 2 group ones at the Valley. I'd be sort of happy to oppose her and Ray McNeira. And the other one for me is, if it's dry, Sands Dute's the one I've got to entertain as well, because it just didn't go a yard at Flemington up the straight when it was a little bit of a soft track. So Ray McNeira, absolutely really keen on. And if it, the track, we don't get the rain, Sands Dute, I'm going to have a mental health bet on as well.
Yep, that's the one I'm on, Sons Dute. Grabbed a bit of double figures early. Yeah, you just have to forgive that last start run on a heavy track at Flemington. You look back to her start prior at the Valley in the car line in a race which produced the coming Moya Stakes winner in Mornington Glory. She ran the fastest late splits of the entire meeting there. And I do think a big peak rating is incoming. She was also up to 1,200 metres last start, which is also a little bit of a query for her. Back to 1,000 metres, we know she's got a devastating turn of foot. Jules is saying the shoot hopefully plays even. She's drawn wide. We know where she's going to be. She's going to be in the back half of the field and she's going to have to loop them. But I'm just going to have something small on her here. I think she is a terrific knockout chance. And as Jules said, if it is dry and fair, I think you could mark her a little bit shorter. Boys?
Yeah, so I don't love the race. I thought, you know, if you use the expected ratings of Estriella, like, you know, she's sort of favourite in the Moya, was it? So, yeah, I think she probably isn't a 1,000-metre horse, but, you know, I couldn't back her. Just, she's not, I don't think she's going quite as well this preparation. And I do sort of wonder whether, you know, she found the lane that day at Flemington, that one big peak, and she hasn't really gotten anywhere near it, either side of that. So, yeah, I think Ray Magnerio, you know, you could make it favourite pretty easily. But I do have a sort of reservation, like, is it a 1,000-metre horse? It could just be chasing the entire way. They're going to go quite quickly here. I thought I won't be betting in this race, but I thought the horse that, you know, was slightly too big was Spacewalk, who ran, was it second or third, sort of like a firm favourite in this race last year. You know, it's first up, but yeah, I'm not a race I want to be on, but I thought Spacewalk was slightly interesting.
Yeah, I've taken a position earlier with Benny on Sans Doute. It's much to my displeasure with the jockey booking. I'm purely backing Benny in, and what he says, I agree with. I think if you give the last start back on, hopefully a bit better surface here, drawn wide, set to swoop in a race with his bit of speed early. So, yeah. At Midtown Boss, if you're listening, don't even fucking think about turning up today on Saturday, because I'm well and truly done with you. And if you get a good track on Saturday and feel like there's really sticking the knife through me, I'll end you.
Midtown Moral. That is the reason why we never got let back on RSN, because of you.
Fair. Oh, what? Me and every other tipster fucking had it as their best bet.
Falgate goes nut in the bin after that, boys. Don't come back on.
Fair.
All right. Let's move on to a race eight. It is the Tristark Stakes, 1,400-metre group two for the four-year-old plus mares. Speak about a mare in form. That is Skybird. She's $4.20 yet to win, but it is coming this preparation. Plenty of Ammo, $5. Revolutionary Miss is $6.50. Miss Aria, $7.50. And Quintessa, $10. Will, I'll come to you now because I know you've got a bet here.
Yeah, I was on Revolutionary Miss last start, but I'm jumping off and I'm jumping on Skybird, who was taken back from a wide barrier there. And will be a lot more forward. I hope she can take a four position, and I hope that doesn't rain on the day because it might chop out the inside. But if she's able to hold a further position forward in the race, I think she's just come back a better mare as a four-year-old. You know, the first up run, that was her best ever run over 12, and, you know, she was squealing home late and then obviously got too far back last time and just, you know, ran big splits, was just too far out of the race. I thought she can be forward here, and I think she should be a little bit shorter than what she is. I thought Plenty of Ammo last time was good, but it seems a bit short to me, and Revolutionary Miss, the map's a little bit awkward. So I was really happy to be with Skybird in this race. It just sort of makes sense, I guess. It's an easy bet to have, I thought.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up what you put down. I'm with Skybird as well. I hope she can use that inside draw, because she has been crueled with very average barriers, and she now draws a perfect gate. We saw Mitch Friedman and Bo Mertens, they sent attrition forward and they won the Hill Stakes last week. If this mare can just get out of the barriers and sit first half of the field, then she just has to be on top for me. You know, she's running incredibly good splits. She put the riding on the wall first up. She followed that up second up, was probably unlucky not to win again, from a long, long way back, and she's now third up, potentially get drier ground and sticks to the 1,400 metres, which potentially might be her best distance. So I'm happy to bet Skybird here. And again, she's already probably got a rating to win this. And if she produces a new career peak, then she looks the one for mine. But it's hard to knock some of the ones around her because they're also in flying form. Jules, did you have any thoughts here?
I'm with you guys in terms of I won't be betting into the race because I just don't know if she can find a spot. That's the issue. You go back through everything and she just doesn't seem to be able to ever find a position. That could be because they just, you know, she was learning early doors and they just wanted to teach her a few things. But there's no excuse for her now, third up here, that they just don't use the barrier. I think they just have to. I think she's going to be the best mare that comes out of the race, you know, in the next 12, 18 months. And they're all pretty solid mares, like, you know, Rev Miss and all those kinds of horses. I think Skybird's the one, but I just can't back with confidence that it can find a spot. Because if it doesn't, what are we, four back pegs, something like that? Like, it just stinks. So that's the only negative, but it's a big negative and it keeps me away. She's clearly the one I want to be with, but, yeah, she's just got to be able to show some gate speed.
So would you prefer her draw on, say, six or seven, given that?
Probably, yeah. And I think there was... makes a really good point that if it does rain, the inside probably be gonzo. So it just makes it even harder. And again, if you're punting on the day, you probably might get a better price because of that. Conversely, if it's dry and all those kinds of things, she might be completely off the map because she's just not the ability to, you know, put a big number out there, I think. So, yeah, I would have preferred her to draw, you know, even nine plus, to be honest. At least then she could just find a three wide line and find a backside and finish off. But anyway, they've got the dealt the card they've got, and just hopefully the for your boys' sake, they can somehow posse up.
Yep. Nick with a K. Go on.
Fuck off. I'm of a similar thought to Jules here. I really wanted to find Skybird. But I've just got the query that I don't know if she can find a position here. And there's been a few, there's a few mares in this race that have been good to me this preparation. Obviously, Quintessa, Poifex, Revolutionary Miss. But I just think now it's Miss Aria's turn. I think she is the one who is drawn well. She can use the gate. If there's a bit of cut in the track, that's not going to worry her chances. She goes fine with a bit of give in the ground. And I just think she's probably the one that ticks the most boxes for me in the race. And I think you're getting a fairly solid price to have a bet. I don't think there's a hell of a lot between them. So these little one percenters, such as Better Barriers, Better Position in Map, versus Rivals, sometimes can be the telling factor in races like this. So I just thought Miss Aria gets her chance to win the race. I think Revolutionary Miss is crueled by her barrier. Brownie's going to have his work cut out for him on her there, and I think Plenty of Ammo, she probably just has to go back from that barrier. And, yeah, I don't know if Skybird can hold a position. So Miss Aria on top for me.
Beautiful. Sounds good. All right, let's get to the day's feature at Caulfield anyway. It is the Group 1 Caulfield Cup, 2,400 metres handicap. It is one of the great races in Australian racing. Buckaroo is the $4.20 favourite from Alias, $7.50. Land Legend, $7.50. Zardozi's also $7.50. Warmonger is $11. Deny Knowledge, $13 on the backup. And Sayadati Sadati is $15. Jules, this looks like there's a fair bit of pressure early with Deny Knowledge on the backup. You've got Alias who wants to be positive. Duke de Cessa only really knows one way. What did you think of the map early and some of the speed?
Yeah, I think you're right with those outside influences, Deny Knowledge, and in particular Elias. I've got a sort of a theory with Elias, what they might do there, but I know the MO with that camp and probably T. Clark is to end up probably sitting outside lead. But just last prep, a 2,000-metre race, I get back to it when it sat off him. Geez, I like the way it exploded away. You know, I think it'll probably end up being a proper 2,000-metre horse, and I think they're just here because you may only get one crack at 2,400. I'd like to see him actually ridden a bit cold, but I'd say it probably doesn't happen. The international horse, whatever its name is, Saturday, which is nowhere near it, but it showed some ability to lead a 2,000-metre race in the UK, I think. So I think they'll roll forward, Duke de Cessa. So absolutely, I think there's enough speed in the race to make it a genuine contest. Which then we then have to then go, okay, do we trust Buckaroo at a mile and a half? And I think that's probably the question for a lot of punters out there, that if you think he's going to be a mile and a half, fine, even on genuine tempo, you sort of have to have him as favourite. It's the right form one. I just love that Turnbull Stakes number. I've got it just going enormous. Compare it sort of to the Metrop. It's, you know, not much. It's just... it's very, very different. Obviously, it was a fast-run Metrop. And there are all different horses. There's other things as well that I think about this race. I think it's got a long tail, but I also think there's a long tail, and this is no disrespect to the people on top as well. I think these races can be won, but more importantly, lost by decisions during the run. And what I think about that is probably in the first 600 metres, not where everyone looks in the last 800 and says, oh, that was great. That's why I think Marrera, and probably to a lesser extent, the jock change on Land Legends significant as well, with Purton. They just seem to be head and shoulders above. There's other good jockeys here, but they're all on horses that are probably bigger prices. So I just wouldn't be surprised if one of those two pulled the rest of the other participants' pants down and they just made lesser mistakes. That's
even more reason why these weights have just got to be lifted next year.
Yeah, it's going to be a
discussion. I don't like seeing this race without some of the best jockeys in Melbourne or Sydney not riding in these type of races. It's going to be the same on Melbourne Cup Day.
Yeah, it's a decision for RV. They sort of changed the rule, I think, 2021 with incentivising. I think it had 355 and a half or something. It was the top weight. So, yeah, that's for them to work out or whatever. I understand the theory once a horse has been given a weight, they don't want to raise it. And I think that might have some international sort of aspects to that, possibly. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But, yeah, I just think it's a race where I reckon whoever makes the least mistakes, which doesn't really happen too often in horse racing, but who makes the least mistakes might be the winner of this race.
Yeah. Are you having a bet or are you just happy?
Yeah, I'm having a bet. Yeah, I'm going to be back and I'm going to back Buckaroo.
Yeah.
I just have to from that gate. I just think he just gets in the right spot. I'm trusting that he'll get 2,400 metres. Dry, soft, no issue at all for me either. Soft would probably be fantastic, but yeah, you know, dry as well. I don't think there's a problem. I didn't think I'd be with Land Legend at all, but just the Purton booking is just significant, I think, for me. That again, he just might be able to get this horse to go again. But I'm very, very keen Buckaroo. I think I've only got three or four. I think I've got four horses, single figures. So I think then I really sort of gap a few of these others that are around, you know, that sort of double figures. Zardozzi, I've sort of got $9-$10. And then the rest I've sort of got much bigger than what's out there in the marketplace. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. Nico, you do like the Metrop form.
Oh, yeah, I'm so keen on this race, which is not really something that I like diving into. But I've got some bold statements, which is nothing
shock
new, nothing new for me. But yeah, I want to put red thick lines right through the top of the two top horses at the market in Buckaroo and Elias. I can't see them running a strong mile and a half. And yeah, I think Deny Knowledge going forward is going to cruel Elias's chances. Froggy will just annoy the absolute shit out of it. And I think that'll be it gone. And I just credit where credit's due. Obviously, everyone knows my stance on Buckaroo at the start of this preparation, and he's somehow turned himself into quite a decent racehorse ever since I made those comments. So anyone wants any form turned around, just let me know and I'll let that happen for you. But, yeah, I just want to be with the Metrop for me. There's two proven horses at a mile and a half, and I think their best is yet to come in their preparations in Zardozzi and Land Legend. Land Legend was a half a run short going into the Metrop. As Chris Waller said, he was only going to be better after the race and beyond with the cups in mind. So if there's more to come, and he did have a pretty sort of wide looping run, stamina's no issue for him. The booking of Purton is fantastic. Yeah, we just don't want it to get wet or too wet. But Zach's going to be aware of that. He's going to ride like a man possessed, and I do hope that him and Buckaroo draw clear with 250 to go, because that'd be pretty cool to see Zach and Joe go at it again. And hopefully Zach's got the better of him. But I do think Zardozzi, she does tick a lot of boxes. I got a lot of love for this girl. No, there's no hiding that. But I do think I was a little bit worried early on in the preparation. I thought she might have been in a bit of trouble, but there was signs of life last start and a lot of it. And I think she's drawn well. I'm not worried about the jockey booking. He's proven that he's able to fly in and win a Sydney Cup sitting three wide the trip. Good ride or bad, I'll leave that up for other people to decide. But, yeah, he's a world-class jockey, and he's been entrusted with a mare that will run a mile and a half on her ear. If the wet comes, that's not going to be an issue for her. And, yeah, I'm really happy just to back both of those horses in with the Metrop proven mile and a half form. Yeah, it's a race that I'm very excited for. And if Buckaroo comes out and runs a mile and a half, well, yeah, he's a deserved favourite and he's going to give these other two a race. But I tell you what, he'd want to run a mile and a half because I know these two will.
All right, Will, Nico's just taking all your talking time. But anyway, tell us who wins a race.
Am I muted? No, I'm not. Oh, look, I know I am. So, a Buckaroo has to be clearly favourite. I'm about $4. I'm quite top heavy here because, you know, as you said, Jules, it's not a very deep race. Zardozzi, I've got about $6. I don't like Alias in this. I thought it's a bit sticky, the map, and I'm not completely convinced it'll run a mile and a half. Like, I thought the pace was efficient enough for it to hit the line a little bit harder than what it did over 2000 last time. And I think they're going to go quite quickly here. Land Legend, you know, like what you said, Nick, it was half a run short. It was really, really good in the metro. It does get Zach Purton. I just gate one. It's not a quick horse, and I think it could be back like 5-6 back the rails. And you know, if the rain does come and chops up on the inside, which is I think is a real possibility, it could be a little bit gross. But it does have Zach Purton on it, so jockeys are more important than barriers. There's a few horses just a little bit of interest. A horse like Valiant King, you know, this horse started $11 Betfair in last year's Caulfield Cup. He was up in a pace in a race that went so ridiculously quick, and he was up in the thick of it. Got checked, and he was strong enough through the line. He ran six there. He went off for about a year on the sidelines, and it was awful first up. And second up, there were just signs of life, and I think there just might be something going on with him. And you know, at the weights, he gets 15 and a half. He's Chris Waller third up, but I just think there's just something about him. And you know, he brought over some world-class form lines last year, and good enough to start $10 in a much, much stronger race. So he's one I'm definitely going to be having something on at 100-1. And I thought Muramasa, it's an average sort of setup, but just his form at a mile and a half, I think it just really suits him. He absolutely smashed Duke de Cessa in the Queen Elizabeth last year and was running away from him in really quick time. Also, I think it's really important just to note with Zardozi, like I think it was last start in the Metro, you know, the market didn't like her until that run, because I think what the market's figured out, she's a mile and a half only, and she's her three best runs by far and away have been over a mile and a half in the Oaks and last time, and I think a high pressure mile and a half here will suit her heavily. But Buckaroo is obviously the horse to bet, and you know, I think $485 is about the price I bet, and I think I could just have something small under Zardozi too. So Four horses of interest in the main race at Caulfield for me on Saturday.
Zardozi, yep, does go against the Godolphin matrix a little bit. A lot of the Godolphin horses are better earlier on in their preparations. Obviously, it's a bit different because she's a stayer, but still something worth noting that the longer her preparations go, the better she gets.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think James Cummins is really good, and you can set her for a big race, and that's what he's done.
If this rain does come, it suits Buckaroo and Zardozi the most if we're racing on genuine soft ground. I've taken a position on a fair few horses in the race, as you can so imagine. But, yeah, Buckaroo clearly on top. He just has to run the mile and a half. I think people looking at his Tankard run and using that as a direct form reference, it's probably fraught with a little bit of danger because he obviously has elevated it a lot, this preparation. Draws perfectly for Joe Moreira, and it just looks like the perfect setup for him. So he's clearly on top. Land Legend goes in for second. Probably doesn't want it to be too wet, but if Zach can just force forward from barrier one, then I think he's a much better jockey than Andre Adzini. So I'm happy to, while Zardozi does have the weight swing on Land Legend, I'm happy to put him in for second. And like Bot, Muramasa, he was third up when smashing them in that Queen Elizabeth in the spring last year. He comes here third up, 51 kilos, and draws nicely. So don't be surprised if he outruns his SP as well. He has been well back, but he was better than 50-1 earlier in the week. All right, let's get to race 10. It is the Moonga Stakes Group 3, 1,400 metres. Pinstripe off a little setback is $3.20 from Gentleman Roy, $4.20. Ripcord, $9. Aegon, $11. Coastwatch, $13. And the big scratching is War Machine, who goes to Sydney. I thought a very easy bet here is Gentleman Roy. This horse started $9 in a Group 1 only a few starts back. He's going to force forward from the wide draw. I think he's going to control this race. And I just sort of wanted to be against Pinstriped. As good as he's been this preparation, I am a little bit worried about the setback he's had. And obviously he was terrible last start in the Maccabi Davis Stakes. So Gentleman Roy just seems like the rock solid horse to me. Barrier 11, I'm not worried about at all. He'll come across with Buffalo River. That horse is going no good, and they'll just sort of control affairs. So he's got ratings to win this, 59 kilos. He's a proven carrier of weight at weight for age level, and he's just the one for me on top. I thought the best roughie of the entire day is this one right down the bottom Number 16, Cosmic Vega, for Kieran Maher, to be ridden by Tim Clark. This horse has a Racing Post rating of 111. They obviously had a great opinion of him when he first came to Australia, putting him, what was the race that V8 won at Rose Hill? The Group 1.
George Ryder.
The George Ryder. Went straight to a George Ryder. He was terrible in both starts so far, but his two jump outs leading back into this preparation have been very, very good. So I'm happy just to risk it for the biscuit, and I think he is a sneaky chance at big odds. Jules, what are your thoughts on this race, mate?
Hate it. Absolutely hate it. The two, usually when you, like, I think there's, they've obviously had an issue possibly with Pinstripe. Gentleman Roy is obviously, they're both probably looking to go. Rupert Clark, so is this the one where they just come off a little bit and then they'll go again and peak, you know, in that race at Caulfield in, you know, a month or so's time. So I'm worried about them. And usually when you can do that, you try to pick some holes and, you know, there's some value elsewhere. But I just, again, there's I could just pot all of these, to be honest. So I'll play a quaddie on Saturday and I'll be going Field. It's the one I'll be standing. Like, I think this is one that's just got stink written all over it. I can't stick up for any of them. And I just think the two classy horses, they're well in, you know, 3 kilo top to bottom in terms of the weights. If they were here and it was a G1 and they were primed, then no doubt. But just don't think they will be. I just think they'll come off and then peak again. So, yeah, Field League for me here, boys.
Not a bad way to go Field in the last leg of the quaddy. I don't mind it when you're 3 legs down, you've got the Field in the last and you're just hoping for something rough. Nick, what do you like in this race, mate?
It's not really a race that I wanted to get too heavily involved in. I thought Ripcord could probably elevate second up if the ground is okay, but I don't trust Dry McNeil to give me a good ride, so I don't really want to get too involved there. Yeah, it's not really a race that I want to get too involved in. I'm happy to have something on.
All right, don't waste our time then. Thanks, mate. Next, Will, do you like anything in this race?
Well, it was interesting with War Machining because I thought he was way, way too short. But
just quickly on that, can we just get that horse to find a benchmark 90, please?
Yeah, honestly.
What are we doing? What are we doing here?
What about the Blue Mob putting him up $3.10 favourite?
Yeah, well, yeah. Anyway, sorry, Will. I just had to...
Bit of conspiracy theorist going on there with the deductions and all that sort of stuff. But don't get Ben started on that. This is no interest for me. I'll be if I wasn't crook, I'd be leaving by the after the Corfu Cup. No
cup of cement, mate. Cup of cement, harden up like Jules here. Speaking of Jules, quick fire. Other bets on the Caulfield card. What do you like, mate?
Yeah, good question. Backing Sugarcoat in the first. I like the jockey change. I think it's a horse that actually you need to just be a bit aggressive on and sit over the top of. So I think Malum suits it. It's two numbers before I went to Santa, and I think were big, and even Ndola's number was pretty good. So I'm happy to be with it in the first. What else have I done? I thought race two was really tricky. Some nice horses there. Keeneland's number's great. It's do you trust the camp to be able to do it again? And that's no disrespect, but it's just they just have to be able to do it again with this horse because he was great through the line. I thought the number was fantastic. Politely Done's no hack. And the other thing with that race as well is Politely Done's had that sort of 2,000-meter run. I love second go 2,000 meters in the prep. So he might be half a run ahead of Keeneland in terms of that. So it was an interesting race, but I was sort of keen to back the fave, but I'll be kicking rocks because Politely Done could get me. I would have loved to have drawn gate 5. I would have liked something else about this horse as well, but Isthmus in race 5 is just, I think she's a really, really nice horse, but there's just a couple of factors there that will have me hard in mouth. So
negative barrier, negative jockey change.
Yeah, it concerns me a bit there. So, but she's a really nice mare, a really nice mare. So if she can get the right luck, I'll be back. I'll be having something heavy on her as well.
Beautiful. I'm playing early in the day. I think we can get the cash nice and early on in the card. Same as Jules, race 1, number 1, Sugarcoat. Had a listen to the Moody on the Mic podcast last night. It's always an enjoyable listen. And he will be letting fast horses run fast here. They will be going forward with Ben Malam on. So that was very encouraging to hear. He's already got ratings that would beat this field. I like the Indola form line, and the jockey change from Linda Meach to Ben Malam is worth a length or two, in my opinion. He's going quite well, and I don't know how well Linda is going. So very, very, very keen there, and I think it might even start shorter. And in race two, I'm happy to go with Reserve Bank. I thought his effort was really, really good behind what I think is a smart one in First Settler. You know, they're probably going to be the second liners in a race like a Coolmore Stud Stakes, but nonetheless, I don't mind barrier 8, 1,200 metres. I think that's fine, and I just think he's the best horse in the race. So I'm happy to back those two nice and early on in the program. Will, who do you like on the Caulfield card outside the quaddy, mate?
So race three, I will be on Red Aces, who I thought, you know, that they, after it won the Brierley, it hadn't run a number, and then it sort of went 60 days or something between runs and got blown off a park over 14. And I thought it was really nice for the line at Flemington. And I think, you know, it's from the family of Miami Bound. I think it's bred to get a trip, and I think it'll continue to improve up to 2,000. So I think it'll probably be a lot more forward. Race number four, Femminile. I hate the manifold form. I think it's no good. I think Two Down a Screw to be a massive drifter on the day. Femminile. I love what it.
Great shout. It's a good shout for the punters out there. That's very good, Will. Yeah.
Femminile ran a big number at Morphettville on a heavy track, and I think it just loves testing ground. Like I just want to test because it's a stayer. You know, it comes to the boys' form, which, you know, that form is the one that's scary and keenly come out of. That form's good form for the Derby, and it comes out of that. It was beaten there, but I think the market will gravitate towards that versus the manifold form, which I thought was no good. I thought Isthmus as well, I thought, you know, really nice horse. Gate one's a little bit tricky, and I'll probably wait until the day, just depending on what the track's looking like. If it's fence off, I'll have a long hard think about it. But I think it's a bit better than some of those horses, and it's just set up for it. It's like some of the other main dangers, like Neonce is, I think, is more of a 1,200 meter horse, and like I think it's like sort of suited down the straight. At Caulfield, I'm not quite sure for it first up. Yeah, don't love it, and I think Isthmus is the one there. And what else? Well, I think that's about it. So yeah.
Beautiful.
I think Femminile is probably my best, but I really like that because I hate the manifold.
Yep. Mm. Nico, quick fire at Caulfield.
Yep. Stars align in the first. I'm with Sugarcoat. Don't need to say anything else. Dirty on myself, but agree with Jules. If I was to have a bet race three, it'd be politely done, but kicking myself because I didn't take $9 yesterday morning. So I may just wait on that race, but I'm really keen to back Nyance. As I alluded to before, I just don't like the barrier, don't like the jockey change for Isthmus, and I think Nyance is a talented mare as well. So happy to be in her corner, but can see why the boys like Isthmus. But personally, I just I think Nyance is probably better suited.
Sweet as. All right, let's go up to Royal Randwick, where, again, similar to Melbourne, there is rain forecast on the Friday, but it does look to slow up and a very warm day on Saturday with 25 degrees. So hopefully the winners will be flowing, and so will the Cairns with me and Bish up there. Jules, what did you make of the track? Are you racing with Rail and the True?
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't actually drilled down into Sydney track, so you boys probably would have more intel on me than how it's expected to play. I've probably just been putting all my eggs in the basket down in here in Victoria. So I'll let one of you guys, if you'd have more intel than me, on how this track's going to play on Saturday.
I'm hoping reasonably fair, to be honest. The inside might chop up just a little bit with that rain on Friday, and I actually think that will help the track more than hinder it, because we know when it's really, really fast, Randwick can play a little bit more on speed, but yeah, I'm hoping it actually evens it out a little bit more.
Nick Ashman's information today was probably lanes 1 to 4 slightly inferior.
Yeah, there you go. So that's probably not a bad.
His track in terms of fairness, normally pretty spot on. So
in terms of fairness, like slightly off fence at Randwick, I don't mind that at all.
Dream off slightly off fence any track, perfect.
All right, better, race better six
than shit last week
is the Sydney Stakes. It's a $2 million Group Three. Would you believe it? They've probably got two horses that deserve to be in the Everest, maybe even three. But Southport Tycoon beat Growing Empire last start, who is $7 in an Everest. He's the $4.80 favorite here from Overpass, $5. He's a good horse. Marzu, $6. Think About It, $9. Drawn Cast, Arkansas Kid, $9.50. And Airman, $13. The big, big shock winner of the premiere. Nico, we have a position early on Southport Tycoon, $9. What else do you like in the race?
Since I've deep dive the race properly, I've gone from two selections to one. The more I look at this race, the more that Southport Tycoon just is a fantastic bet, one of the better bets on the day. There's a lot of speed in this race, and I think that's going to be to Overpass's detriment. I get he goes good fresh. I get all that sort of jazz, but I just think there's enough speed in this race for him to be annoyed. And I just think Zaz on Southport Tycoon just sits him behind a hot speed. If the fence is off, he will just be in the right place. And I just trust him to make the right decision. And I just think he's the best horse in this race. And this time of year, if you can back the best horse in the race and everything aligns, it's normally a pretty good feeling. And I think we back this horse and we'll have a pretty good feeling and we'll be a little bit richer for it.
Beautiful. Yep, I am on Southport Tycoon as my first bet. Wasn't this a devastating turn of foot he let down with to win the Manicato Stakes? I didn't certainly forecast it off his Show County run, but he was absolutely enormous. I love that Mark Zara goes up to Sydney and rides him from Barrier 5. That's worth something in itself. While he did win an Australian Guineas, I don't know, he's sprinting very, very well at the moment, so they may as well just keep him sprinting until otherwise. So I'm pretty keen on him, but because we were on at a nice early price, I am also going to back Overpass. They just look the two horses for me. A bit of rain won't hinder Overpass's chances. It is going to be a drying, soft track, I would imagine, by the time we get there on Saturday. He's already shown he can handle a fast tempo in some of those quokkas. He sat on top of a good speed and kicked away from him in WA. So I just think they're clearly the two. Marzu, the track probably won't be wet enough. Think About It is drawn cast. They're going to try and go forward. Big chance he's stuck three wide. Arkansas Kid, maybe not quite up to these. And Airman, well, he just won a bit of a joke of a race last start with how slow they went. And then you've got King of Sparta, who's also going to get back a long way. So in my opinion, you only needed to take three and one. All right, race seven. This is the Tab Everest, which was upgraded to a Group One. I'm not sure if it's internationally recognized as a Group One, so that's still something they need to probably talk about and work on. But I Wish I Win is $5.50 from Jolly Star, $6. Growing Empire, $7.50. Traffic Warden, $8. Bella Nipotina, $8.50. Sunshine in Paris, $9.50. And Storm Boy, $12. Jules, I know you probably haven't done all the Sydney form, but this map looks pretty obvious with the Gaybot horses going forward.
You'd think so. And probably from one, IME probably tries to hold a spot, but I'd say they're probably happy to be leaders back, getting to 1,200 metres, and they probably don't want to be the bunny. Obviously, the filly drawn wide, Lady of Camelot rolls across. It'd be interesting to see what they do with Storm Boy, whether they want to try and get him into the 1-1 or whether they actually do want to be aggressive and be in front. Maybe they'll try something slightly different with him, but he's such a big colt that probably it is best for him to roll forward. Jolly Star, sort of, you know, nice spot. Growing Empire, nice spot. And then you got a few of those that you sort of probably from the draw have to take their medicine. I Wish I Win, which we sort of know anyway. Private Eye and Bella Nipotina, I think, has to go back to last. Like, I just don't think they'll want to try and torch her at any stage, and they're going to need some luck to be able to win from there. So I found it a really interesting race, as it should be. There's so much depth to it. I think I've got an $8 the field, so really tricky. Market sort of suggests that. what would I do? I sort of like the setup, Jolly Star. Her number was enormous first up. They come off it and then they go and launch again. But then I sort of like the three-year-olds as well. Horse like Traffic Warden, you know, it sets up really well for him. I couldn't really stamp one because you can have five bets and then you're still going to get beat, you know, hence why my market's $8 the field. So Ripping Race probably won't ruin the contest by having a punt and just watch it as an observer.
Yep. I've never backed a three-year-old in the Everest to this point, and this is the year I do it. I like both of them, number 9 Growing Empire and number 10 Traffic Warden. I'll start with the Godolphin horse. He's just gone to a new level for, you know, for what he is, this preparation. His ratings have been really, really good. He only missed a nose in the Golden Rose. That was behind Broadsiding, who was one of the biggest goes in a Group 1 you'll ever see, backed into even money first up. Only missed a nose there. Back to 1,200 metres is fine. Draws in barrier 2 for Jamie Carr, so just going to get the most lovely run on the map. I'm very keen on him. I thought you could honestly mark him even a little bit shorter because you got horses like I Wish I Win, who is favourite. He probably isn't racing as well as previous preparations, even though both of those have been at Moonee Valley. And Growing Empire, fourth up here. He rode the speed last start in the Manicato. He just got a little bit tired late, run down by Southport Tycoon, who we also like. Again, I just think he can elevate yet again, which he needs to get to Traffic Warden's level, but I think he's got it in him. I'm very keen to be on these three-year-olds. Jolly Star was awesome first up, but that was on a bit of a slow tempo. Can she do it with more pressure? She is Waller, so third up, it does set up well for her. But yeah, it's 9 and 10 for me, and you can pick holes in a lot of the others. Nick?
What a race. Like, fuck me. This is so good. Not to punt on. It's just going to be a great spectacle because there's dead set. I've got 6 horses that I could see winning and could back in this race. It's like it's just really hard. I've got small positions and interests in a few, but the two that if you put a gun to my head that I'd probably back, I think the horse that everyone's forgetting about is Sunshine in Paris. I love that she's going to be 35 days. So she's essentially coming here near enough to first up again, and we just know how good she is as a bomb fresh horse, and I just think she's drawn so well for Tommy in 8. She can just sit just behind the speed, and if the fence is off and they're coming down the middle, she's just going to be in the right spot. I just think no one's really talking about her a hell of a lot, and I just think she's probably the one that's creeping up under everyone's guards a little bit. And my pick of the 3-year-olds would be Traffic Warden. I was just really, really taken by his two runs, his preparation. Like, he was arrogant first up, and he got beat by a horse that I think is a freak, just on the line in his stablemate in Broadsiding in the Golden Rose. So they're probably the two that if I was forced to have a bet that I'd back, but it's just a fantastic race. It wouldn't surprise me if I Wish I Win return to form. Jolly Star, she can definitely hit back third up. Growing Empire, proper horse. Bella Nipotina, you'd be a brave man to say that she couldn't do it. Giga Kick, third up. Could he turn back the clock? It's a fantastic race. Can't wait to watch.
Absolutely. Will, you probably won't be punting in this race, but you will be watching. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I had a look. I was 850 the field in this. Like, I think it's so unbelievably.
Yeah, and you're 90% even. Market.
100%.
I know.
I have I Wish I Win, Jolly Star, and Growing Empire equal favourite 850. And it's just so even. There's nothing between any of these. I think it'd be a great finish. It'd be a bunch finish, I reckon. But I'd be very surprised if there's a horse that, you know, just smashes them. And maybe that horse is Growing Empire, but I couldn't back him to do it. Even if I was betting up there, I couldn't touch this race. It's way, way too high. And maybe it'll be different once the scratchings come out, because I think even a horse like Overtime sitting there at 63s and looks a little bit big to me, but it's not going to run. So
Overpass, come on, mate.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good. It shouldn't be 60, should it?
No, I was just saying you got the name wrong. Anyway, let's move on. You called it Overtime.
Oh, did I?
It doesn't bet in Sydney, Jules. You just have to forget.
Mate, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm with him there.
Jules, talking about Sydney.
Bermuda Triangle up there.
Was this your antics last night, organising this this barrier draw in Sydney?
It was good, wasn't it? I actually didn't watch it, but it did blow up the, the world of social or whatever the fuck that is. But yeah. Everyone was definitely having kittens about it. But each their own, like, to be honest, at the end of the day.
It's a barrier
draw. Barriers were rolled out, so good luck to them. Whoever was on the urn, I tell you what, I wish I could be, I might get involved in circus stuff because I'm some good coin there, I tell you
we'll
what.
We'll put you in a cannon, mate.
I'm more than happy to be. I think a few would like to shoot me out too. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, depends how I go on Saturday. I might volunteer myself.
Yeah. Missed opportunity not putting PVL in there.
Anyway. That would have been the go.
Let's move on to race 8. It is a Silver Eagle. It is worth $1 million. It's a 1,300-meter race for restricted to four-year-olds, Group 3. Kimochi's $4.80, Astraka $5 is flying, V8 $6.50, War Machine $7.50, Stratton Angel $8, and the key scratching is Skybird, who stays in Melbourne. Two bets for me here. I'm on the top weight, V8. We bet before the barriers came out. Got a bit of 11, so on at a good price. The barrier is extremely annoying, but this horse does have the best ratings in the race. The George Ryder figure, Fawn King sort of got it going to better than 102, so that is very good. I'm happy to forgive the first up run in the Manicato, and I think he can bounce back in a big way here. Gets James McDonald, that just screams intent to me. So number one Saddlecloth, he's the best horse in the race, and I'm happy to be on him. I'm also going to have something on War Machine. You'll probably get a better price for this horse because he hasn't really done it yet in terms of this level. I thought he was an encouraging run first up at 12. He's going to go to 14 here. I'm a little bit annoyed they're going down this path rather than a Rupert Clark because I thought that might have been a good race for him. But, yeah, I do think he's got scope for real improvement, and I think you'll get a better price than he currently is on the day. So those are the two horses I'm backing. Here you go.
Yeah, it's a bit deflating, barrier 13, but we've got the best jockey in the world on board. That's his issue, not ours. yeah, you just got to forgive whatever the fuck happened at Mooney Valley. That's never happened in his career before, so I'm happy to forgive him and trust that he will get back to somewhere near his best, and his best is better than anything else in this race. So happy to back in the camp, back in J-Mac, and pray the overs gods aren't cruel.
Beautiful. Jules, anything?
No, I just found it really interesting with V8's price actually in the Manicato. Like, it just stayed solid. I gapped him. I was like, from where he was, I was like, I just can't have him at all in that race. So I just found it really interesting that the market wanted to keep him on side and say, oh, it was $10. But he, like, I honestly thought, you know.
I think it's just a fact that he was unbeaten fresh, and that Australia Stakes win when he beat Southport Tycoon was just probably visually sexy.
Yeah. So I think there's, like, his numbers are solid enough. That's why I thought. Yeah, I think if, you know, I could understand where you're going with a horse like him, and, you know, he's got a lot of variables that we talk about probably in his favour, albeit from that draw.
Yeah. All right, happy to move on. Let's go to the King Charles.
Stratton Angel, one of mine. She looks well weighted there. Just, you know,
she does. She might just get a long way back.
Yeah, maybe not. Well, I mean, she'd be. I think she's probably favourite. Looking at the numbers, I haven't done the race, but
fair enough.
She looks like,
yeah,
on numbers, she should be favourite.
Dry ground. That's what she wants. So hopefully, she doesn't want too much rain to come on the Friday.
Yeah.
Race 9, the King Charles. Shut up, Will. It is a $5 million race. It's over a mile. It's a Group 1. Pride of Jenny's even money now on the TAB. From Fangirl, $3.90. Chao Wolf, $8. Celestial Legend, $13. My Oberon, or My Obernun, as he's known here sometimes, is $18. I'll go first. I think she's the best bet of the weekend, Pride of Jenny. I think there just has to become a point in time where we do just admit that she's the best miler in Australia. Ever since she got beaten by Amelia's Jewel sort of this time last year, she's went and won an Empire Rose. She won a Champions Mile. She bolted in with an all-star mile. She smashed them in a Queen Elizabeth, and now she's come back. Barring a wet track, she probably wins that Maccabi Diva Stakes, and now she's won a Fian. So I think she's going to be cherry ripe. Fourth up, barrier 11 is perfect. She's just going to step out cleanly, come across, and just put them to the sword here. Fangirl draws in for the first time in a long time, and she's the obvious danger. But I just feel like Potter Jenny might drag her, turn a foot out of her. I just think she's a bit of a freak. She's just got this aerobic capacity that other horses just can't match. And I wouldn't be surprised if she wins by a few lengths again. Jules.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. It's interesting. The cafe and the other joint are even money, whereas everywhere else is sort of 215, 220, 225, 235. So they're obviously, she's the biggest talking horse in Australia. They're going to have every punter that they've got on their books is obviously want to pile into Pride of Jenny. So they're just doing that to, you know, try and keep her in as short as they possibly can. They'll end up betting sort of market price 5 minutes out, but till that point, they'll probably be two or three rolls under the market because they'll obviously have it for a stack no matter what. I'm with Fangirl here, but it needs to dry out. So I'm not 100% sold that Pride of Jenny is where she was in the autumn. And I know she won the Fian, but I still felt like it wasn't what I wanted to see from her. And the numbers are just not as big. And I just can't get this race last year, Fangirl, out of my head. She's very Goldilocks. She needs a lot of things to go her way. She needs it to be a bone dry track, in my opinion. But I just think the number that she can produce is pretty scary. Now, piece of string, how far away she's going to be from Pride of Jenny? Yep, absolutely. And that's the charm of Pride of Jenny, that she gets horses out of their comfort zone before they want to be out of their comfort zone, and they're chasing when they don't want to have to chase. So that's all ahead of her. But I just think at the price discrepancy, I'd be happy to have a bet Fangirl. And I know it probably wouldn't have been the greatest setup, but I would have loved to have backed Chow Wolf in a Caulfield Cup because I thought that might have been his moment in the sun there. So I'm going to keep a big interest in on that horse, 2,000 metres, Queen Elizabeth in the autumn. He might monster him.
Well, they might go to the Champion Stakes, Jules.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting. Fangirl's never been in a fast race. You look back through her form, it's so interesting. Like, she's always in a slow race, and you know, she's got this massive turn of foot, but you know, no one knows if she's she might completely explode. You know, who knows? No, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I love Pride of Jenny. She's such a cool horse, and she makes racing so fun. You know, we're there at Fee and Stakes stage, the crowd erupted at the 1,000 meter mark. Like, that was just unbelievable.
I had someone comment on my Twitter saying she's bad for racing. I don't think I've ever seen anything honestly more wrong.
Yeah. No, Will's right. She's an absolute ripper, and actually, you know, it is exciting and to just watch. And then you've always got to work out whether you want to tarnish that kind of spectacle by betting into it. And the way she breaks it up, it's hard to bet into these races anyway because you're sort of either with her.
100%. It's so difficult because you know, you get these tearaway leaders and you're betting on it gets into the jockeys' heads, and it's like with the Queen Elizabeth last year, that is, I don't know, I hate betting in races with her because it's just there's so much extra little things that can go wrong that can just mess it all up. But it's like Fangirl last year in the Champions Mile. I don't want to go into it. Move on.
Yeah, it's taken me a while to come around, but I finally have. So I'm hoping Darren Flindale goes for the seriously. She's 30 lengths in front again. Nico?
Yeah, well, that's two of us that have come around to old Jenny. But
I never thought I'd see the day.
Yeah. I just see just similar to what happened in the Fian. I just think it's going to be physically impossible for any horse to beat her. The way that this race shape, I think, is going to play out. I just think she will go to the front. She will build and build and build. And I don't know if Fangirl will sit closer. And I don't know if anything's going to tow her into the race. I don't think Jenny's going to stop at the mile anyway. I think she can run flat out at the mile. We'll allude to what I think will happen over 2040 next week, but I think at the mile, she's, if she's right, she's near on unbeatable. Just the way that she runs the race, it's just impossible for horses to beat her because it's to their detriment if they go closer. They're top quicker for longer and they can bust. And if they're further off her, well, it's impossible to catch her. So, yeah, I don't see how they beat her on Saturday, and I can't wait to see it. Yeah, I just think she'll win again. I see it's that simple. I love Fangirl, but as Jules alluded to, she is a Goldilocks horse, and I don't think everything's going to align for her on Saturday. But I'd love to see her chase, but it'll be to her detriment, I think.
Yep. All right, other bets on the program. I'll quickly go through mine. Race one, number two, Allegron. Gee, wasn't this horse an absolute car crash in the Metropolitan? Just run up thumbs the whole way. I didn't back him in that race, so I wasn't really looking at him. But then I went back and watched the replay. And, yeah, this horse is just completely looking for ground now. He would have finished a lot closer to them had he been afforded the right luck. And I think if he gets back to sort of his Brisbane Cup figure over 2,600 metres, that's going to make him very, very hard to beat.
The Blue Joint got him 20 to 40 cents longer than everyone else at the moment.
Yeah, so they've obviously got an opinion there.
$4 he is.
Yep. Race two, number three, Ducasse. This horse runs one good figure of prep, and I think this is it. I think it's coming up here on Saturday. He's fourth up. He was a big winner on, what was it? It was a first group one day in the autumn. That was with Blake Shin on board, ran a really good figure there, beat Tannhauser. Was on a heavy track, so any rain won't be to his detriment at all. And if you look at the ratings and also the weights, he's really well in with 54.5 kilos. There are lots of horses in this race who aren't in with their true weight down the bottom. They should be carrying even less, and he's actually one who carries what he should be carrying. And I thought last start he was perched four wide, no cover the entire way, and I think it was one of the better sevenths you'll see. And the other one is race five, number three, Front Page in the Cozzy. Three in a row, I think he wins it again. I think outside of Prodigy, he just has to be the other best bet of the day. As good as Tyler Schiller has been riding this horse over the years, he now gets James McDonald. He draws barrier five. He's going to go straight to the front. He's a complete bomb fresh. First up record, nine starts, five wins, two placings. And you just have to go back and watch his trial behind Overpass. He trialed better than Overpass, who is favorite or second favorite in the Sydney Stakes. So I'm all over Front Page. 59 kilos. He's carried weight in this race the last 2 years. He should go to the front and just simply win again.
Ben, can you explain something to me really quickly? Like in the St. Ledger, what's the go with Waltham? Because I look at the three numbers. It's three races in Australia, and how is it $6 and firm? What is that?
Shin, and I think everyone just thinks this horse is looking for ground, which he probably is. Yeah,
it'd want to look for ground. Like it's been awful.
Yeah, he might need another lap still.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Jules, do you have any other bets in Sydney?
I don't, mate. No.
No worries. While you are there, maybe just think of a back, a lay, and a prey. So that's a best bet, a best each way, and something you're putting the sword through while I get to Nico. Nico?
I thought you could spec a filly in race. Well, obviously, I'm with Allegron in the first. I think $4 is a fair enough price to bet. I've had a little spec on the Ma runner in the Reginald Allen, Jellylicious. She obviously ran super on debut, wet ground, two lengths behind Clean Energy. We know how good that form has turned out to be. Any horse behind her, Lady Shenandoah and co, have been really good. Her resumption, this preparation, she ran good, and I just think here, second up, she's got a lot of talent. Gate four, Tommy Berry from a good gate. I just thought $8 was a fair enough price to have a spec. I'm with you. Probably the best bet of the day, Front Page, as much to my disgust. This has never been a horse that I've ever liked cheering for no real apparent reason. I don't know. It's just been a horse that I haven't really liked. But I do think he looks immoral on Saturday, so I do have to come to the party. I think $2.50 is a fair price. Bomb fresh, J-Mac, J-Mac probably wasn't riding him. I probably wouldn't back this horse. So J-Mac's probably sealed the deal. Shock horror for Nico. Yeah, gun draw, gun jock. Ratings are just clearly better than these. And, yeah, I think we've sort of covered everything there.
Sweet as. Jules, we always give the guests an opportunity to go with their best bet first, so they get the first cab off the rank. Do you have one on the day?
Yeah, it'll be Ray Magnerio. I think it's I like the setup for it. I think it can win race 7. And, like, again, each their own. They can back this horse if they want. But just think it's far too skinny at the current price, too darn discreet. I think in race 4 it might be 320, 330. I've marked it much, much bigger. And I know the race probably lacks some depth, so I don't know where it comes from. And Will might have found the right horse there. But, yeah, I'm happy to be against too darn discreet at that kind of price discrepancy.
Yep. Do you have anything at double figures or not just as
you? No, I'm actually I usually play into that space a little bit, especially in the last sort of 6 weeks. But I found Saturday in particular, I'm sort of going to be playing pointy into the market specifically. So I can't really push the punters into anything really at a price that I'm happy with. So that's where we're at.
Yep. Wilbur, what's your set, mate?
I really like Femminile. I think the boys' form's better than the girls' form. And obviously, I don't like the same horse as Jules. What's it called? Too Darn Discreet, I think. And Valiant King in the Cup, I think, is a nice sort of each-way bet.
Right, so that's race 4 for the best and the lay, and a big ticket in the Caulfield Cup. Nico?
Well, my three main plays from a best bet perspective is my dual bet play, Land Legend Czar Dozy in the Caulfield Cup. And then outside of that, the two smack jobs would be Pride of Jenny and Front Page. My lay of the day would be... Fuck. Who do I really want to put the sword through? Just hold on the lay. But I think from a roughy perspective, I thought you could spec two fillies in a 1,000 guineas prelude. I didn't mind Exuberance, Booking of Joe, won well last start. Think the horse has got more upside. And is it Benagil, that Curry rides, horse number 8? I just thought it was probably over. So you could probably spec those two in what is an even race with the main market, Alex, drawn poorly.
Yep.
I'll get you a lay before the end of the podcast.
No worries. Best bet for me, race 9, number 9, Pride of Jenny. Next best would obviously be race 5 at Randwick, and that is Front Page, number 3. Both go to the front. Both hopefully win. Best value is race 10 at Caulfield, number 16, Cosmic Vega, right down the bottom. And from a lay perspective, I am going to make it race 2, number 7, Gallant Sun. Does go Linda Meach to Zach Purton, so that's worth a bit, but I don't know if it's worth 3 lengths. And Stolly Bolly did just pick it up and drop it last start, so I'm happy to put the sword through Gallant Sun, who's equal favourite with Reserve Bank. All right, a couple of questions. We'll try and whiz through these. Lucas Greenwood, has Jules ever missed catching the can of Coke on his preview show?
Okay, so some high-end questioning. yeah, I dropped it the first week, and it went everywhere, so that's the end of that. So, no, I haven't missed since then, so anyway. That's a good question. Yeah, very good.
Beautiful. Well done, Lucas. Marla says, did Jules purchase an estate down the Ballarine Peninsula in cash thanks to Cross Counter's Melbourne Cup win?
No comment.
James Topping, do you consider race times when looking at 1,200-metre sprint form? IME running sub 108 a while back at Randwick and a faster last 600 than the Everest and the Sydney Stakes last year on Everest Day. Jules, this is usually just a byproduct of fast tracks.
Yeah, and I think you got to be really careful when you're doing that, because that track, for whatever reason, might have been a good 2, good 3 or whatever, and then if you just pile it against something else on a different day, you know, was it wind affected and all that kind of stuff. So you're always going to look at times. You're going to go, they went fast, they went slow, and what was their bonusing, you know, on their last section home. But, yeah, I think you've got to be really, really careful if you're just stamping, oh, that horse ran a certain time, so that means it's the fastest horse. It's very, very dangerous territory doing that.
Yep. Chris says, any horses worthy of a Cups double bet this year? In my opinion, The only one that is even half worth considering is probably Land Legend, because I do think he'll stay the 3,200, and I think he's a good chance this week. Jules, I don't know if you play into the Cups doubles.
No, I don't. I would say if it is a really fast run race, this horse is dead set. It's not fast enough, I think, to win a mile and a half race, and
the
just gate probably throws it out. But Warp Speed is one that just is of interest, because I think he'll definitely monster Flemington. And if this race is run really, really fast, well, we know what the Japanese horses do. They just eat that shit for breakfast. So he's the one real left fieldy that if you're going to do a Cups double, because I think he might run a bit of a race on Saturday, possibly if they go really fast.
His time form 117. So he's right up there. I just don't
think 24s. Yeah. Like, I just don't know whether he's going to be fast enough for 24 and the gates.
Yeah, I think they'll just go back on him and they'll just sort of run on and wait for the Cup. But, you know,
I think
the one for the Cup, though, is the Jan Brugel. That's the Cup horse.
Yeah, I tried to buy him anyway. That's another story.
Good luck with that.
No, well, it was weird. The weird
he must have run a complete monster on cross counter.
The weird thing is, got involved in a group that were going to buy the Euphrates, which is also Aiden's three-year-old, that had 50 and a half, which I think ran fourth to Kyprios and Vorwan or something. Anyway, it didn't fail the vet, but they weren't confident enough. So we fell over. And so then the next question was, okay, what about that other real jet that just won a G1 over there and is 4 from 4 and he's going to start...
The well-bred Galileo thing.
Can we buy him? And they're like, "What drugs do you want?" And I said, "Yeah, what day is it?" But anyway, that was the story.
Love that. The Don says might be late, but how can Muramasa and Akita Sushi get into the Melbourne Cup field?
They can win the Caulfield Cup.
Is it win only Jules, or can a placing creep them up the order?
Well, it depends what, if they've already passed that certain ballot clause, I think it's like top eight in the Caulfield Cup passed a certain ballot clause, but if you don't win it, you don't get the penalty in. So, I'm not sure. I don't know how many are left in the Melbourne Cup, but there might be a fair attrition rate too. It always happens. So, I don't know. It's going to be a real long tail, that race.
Geelong and Bendigo Cups there are...
Yeah, that's a good point. Mini Valley Cup, probably, if you win it, you get a pen as well.
Yeah.
Live Cold has got two questions. Imports/internationals across both states, which you like going into the weeks ahead. Any you think are overrated/underrated? I really like the two internationals going to the Golden Eagle. Jules, I don't know if you know about these. Ascoli Piceno and Lazat?
No, I've heard that one's been well supported and I think has monstrous figures. So, and again, because it's up there in Sydney, I don't have a great lens on it. But by all reports, it's a fair horse. I think the Melbourne Cup, unless something drastic happens, seems that I think an international will be winning, I would have thought, because I just am slightly worried about where our locals sit at the moment for that 3,200-metre race.
Yeah. Give strength to prognosis as well in the
cosplay. Yeah, and by all reports, they always say this, but...
they're always flying, Jules.
They're always flying down there. Some.
Did you see you ran 23 flat?
I went there one year, and one horse couldn't even get out of its box because it was completely cast. And then I read an article somewhere and it was like, oh, this horse is flying. I was like, what the fuck? What? we cannot write this. Anyway, so they're all flying down there, but by all reports, he said it'll be well that horse, and that's probably enough for him.
One that I wasn't sure might not be flying was Wooten Verney, who went around this morning. He's going the softer option. He's not going to a Cox Plate. He's just going to the Crystal Mile. But I don't know. I wasn't a massive fan of his work this morning, but it was only a gallop. We saw favourites beaten in our Group 1s last weekend. Which favourite is the most vulnerable this Saturday, says Liv?
I thought that was going to be from Aussie punting battlers.
No.
You think, for me, and probably Will as well, Too Darn Discreet just seems to be short enough, I think, at that price.
Hinged. So. How the fuck is she favourite?
She's very Head well in set. At the weights.
Oh, you can fucking have her, Ben.
I'll go Keeneland. I'll be against him. Will, anything?
Yeah, to discreet.
All right, beautiful. Mr. Wagering Journey says we need to get Dicko back on the podcast at some stage. Let me just go over to Instagram questions. Is Lady Laguna way overs in the Sydney Stakes?
Yes.
Yes, Jules says.
I think it needs to dry out. Actually, in that race, the two that interest me the most, and it's just I think it's a trap race, a really trap race, are the two mares down the bottom. Lady Laguna, if it dries out, and Climbing Star, which has never really been one that I could sort of catch, but I thought her run first up was quite good. So interesting placement to go up there, but I suppose I can understand it when it's worth like a billion.
Next time for Lady Laguna was the whisper that I heard.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I think it's a big price. Yeah.
Nico's track spies. Ruben Evans says, do you think Duke de Cecil will run a big race? Jules, Will and I probably think maybe 2,000 metres is his best distance. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I actually backed him in the Turnbull.
So did everyone else. It was off the map.
Yeah. It just set up really well for him, I thought, that sort of map and everything like set up. For, that was sort of his race, I think. I think there's just going to be a bit more outside pressure. I think he'll run well. I don't know if he can win it, and I won't be backing him, but he's not going to be the worst, and he's not going to fall out the back of the tally, put it that way.
Yeah. Mm. Matt Luco says, Private Eye going to do anything decent this spring? I thought he was solid last start. I don't think he'll win the Everest, but I would be looking to that 1,300-meter race where he somehow got beaten by Ballinipatino in last year. Yeah, I think he can do something there. Sam Battalato, bang, love Jules, but his recent haircut is in the hen house.
Well, the hen house is good, so I think he means the dog house.
The dog,
yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, like we all have Britney moments, and you have to, you know, try and change your image and sort out, you know, escape people and things like that. So, you know, we all like that. That's
Sam Tabor, why isn't Mark Zahra on Going Empire? It's because he can't make the 53 kilos, simple as that. Coops Irwin, now the Everest and All Star Mile are Groupon races. Which current Groupon races should lose their status? Jules, any thoughts on this? 50 of them. There's plenty of them, and a lot of them are in states that they've got a Group One there, and it's probably great for them that they can, you know, call a race a Group One and have a big cup day, but they shouldn't be Group Ones.
Yeah, that whole sort of thing is just a bit of a mess, but it's probably out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Coops Irwin, which of the big three races are the most exciting this week? You've got to say the Everest, the King Charles, and the Caulfield Cup, I would say.
Yeah.
Simple, yep. 1, 2, 3. Coops Irwin, are people who are saying the Cox Plate is not as good / lost its charm idiots?
Yes.
Who's saying that?
Max Mini. I don't think it's going
to
be...
If they can get... We sort of need part of Jenny to do what she needs to do on Saturday, but if they can all get there, you're going to have the international flavour with Prognosis. You've got Brightside and Pride of Jenny, which sort of carry so much support from just a fan base, and then you're going to have, you know, the X Factor 3-year-old broadsiding, and you sort of work out what you want to do with him and where you think he sits. So it's sort of got all the ingredients to be
there. It's going to be the race of the spring again.
Yeah, we might only get a field of eight because
rather a good field of eight rather than fucking four horses that shouldn't be there to make 12.
Yeah, I agree.
It's meant to be the best of the best anyway. So. Yeah, it's perfect that it's going to turn out like that.
Royal Patronage is probably the one who probably shouldn't be in there, but
that's okay. But someone's going to likely be there. He could possibly be the card up horse. So perfect.
Yeah, potentially. Philip Milenkovic, hopefully I got that right, says, how much does Julian Valance bench press and what's his biggest collect?
Never been in the gym in my life, even when I played footy or refused to go in it. So I don't even know what the answer to that is. I don't even know what bench press does. So to be honest, I actually have no idea. We'll leave the other question.
Yeah. Ruben Evans, surely if Buckaroo wins the Caulfield Cup, Nico has to do some sort of punishment. I absolutely agree with this.
Yeah, fucking oath, you can have that because he won't run 2,400.
All right, you've got to do...
We're not touching my hair or my moustache. They're off limits.
You got to chug 3 beers in quick succession on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Can I please come on for that one then?
That's hardly a fucking punishment.
Yeah, it is when you're on your stupid keto diet or whatever it is, right?
Keto diet.
keeps going. His group on Gavin.
You know, you did say keto. Ketamine.
What do you reckon the protein powder is, Jules?
Maybe I should have said keto. Anyway, Coops Irwin, his group on Gav, the best trainer in the country. How good was Kingswood yesterday, Jules?
Yeah, I was. I actually was there, and when I have too much on things, I actually have to go, and I actually watched it from a toilet because I was too scared. it was a very painless watch. It's actually. My gut feel is with that horse, and I haven't looked at the number from yesterday, but he might be the only grey that could be just a pure dry tracker. But he's going to be a horse that – actually, I was talking to a couple of boys after, and I said, if it was on a quick four-day backup, I'd probably have some limited Caulfield.
I 100%. I'd back it like anything bigger than $15 in a Caulfield Cup.
Yeah.
So there's a Geelong Cup next Wednesday.
With him. He's a really
good going to the Bendigo Cup. Yeah.
Bendigo Cup and then the Queen Elizabeth, I think.
Okay. Yeah, no, they're gonna have some fun with him.
Yeah. All right. Best bet for the Melbourne Cup says Kem.
Jan Brugel.
Jan Brugel is the one that Will likes.
Yes.
But you're probably just waiting now.
If and when he wins, we're gonna celebrate like Jules actually got to buy him. So we're gonna have a party at all.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Ryan Deeth says, when does Kovalika win a race?
Never. Scared of the winning post.
Don't know. Just a few more from Ryan, then we're all done, lads. Ryan, Liz, when can we expect her to drop questions? Well, she did tonight, so there you go. Benny, with all the winners you've been hitting across Hong Kong and Oz, imagine the size rock. And last one, how do you boys feel about having underage degenerates listening to your podcast? Jules, this is a very funny point because we went to the races last week and we met a few people who the boys were calling fans, and they were very drunk, and we found out they were 16 and 17 years old.
Oh, there you go. Oh, only 2 years.
Start them young.
Anyway, they'll learn the hard way like we all did. Jules, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate your time. It is precious, and we know you've got a bit of a sore head.
Nah, I really appreciate it, guys. I actually really enjoy that. Enjoy doing it with you guys. You're good fun and you know your stuff. So keep at it. And we'll see you around the traps.
Beautiful.
Thanks, mate.
Have a great Saturday, punters. It is truly one of the great days on the calendar. The Everest and the Caulfield Cup, as long as also with the King Charles. So as long as we have a good day, we will be back here with all pistols firing. We'll do the review on Monday and we'll all be back. We might have another guest next Thursday. Cheers.